Okay, so on the motion to adjourn, I think we should take a roll call vote. Could you do that for us, Carol, Secretary?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. So if I made a motion to extend, would we be voting on the motion to extend? I don't understand.
There are no motions on the floor at this time because no one's written anything into the chat.
I did. I just wrote it into the chat.
Well, I think technically Tim's motion was stated first. So
no,
I
my motion was stated first.
You didn't make a motion.
I did. I made a motion. Yes, I did.
You asked about it.
Yes.
No, and
yes.
I made a I asked about it. Then I put the motion in the chat before Tim said anything.
I second Janine's motion that's written in the chat.
And it's written in the chat and it was accepted. Someone else seconded it.
Madam Chair, okay. Robert's Rules of Order state that when there is a motion on the floor to adjourn, that's the motion that you have to
I said up. My motion was
motion to adjourn takes precedent over whatever motion, kidding. Whatever other motion.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Either one we vote on will be the same result.
Exactly.
That's true. Yeah.
It takes precedent.
Robert's Rules.
Yes, Robert's Rules. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, what is left on the agenda to cover?
The Treasurer's report and the motion from Frank, which would be carried over to the next meeting if it didn't get voted on. So that's what's on the floor. So the motion to adjourn would come first because Tim said it first.
Yes, that's Robert.
It's Robert's Rules of Order.
I just want a point of clarity. I did make my motion first. You keep saying that Tim said it first.
Point of
it's
order.
It's not first.
I've withdrawn my motion to adjourn. Let's vote on Janine's motion, please.
That has precedence over your vote.
Robert's Rules of Order, which is what we're supposed to be following, Madam Chair, if I may.
Yes.
Yeah.
Clearly states that when there is a motion on the floor to adjourn, that is the motion that is supposed to be taken up. If I am incorrect. Well,
I've withdrawn my
motion. Correct, and let me have for a moment of clarity here, which is always desirable.
Yes.
The motions really are mutually supportive because if you're going to vote to adjourn, then you're not going to vote to extend. If you vote to extend, you're not going to vote to adjourn. So it really is a matter of insignificance which one we vote on first because they're completely different motions. They're oppositional to one another.
Point of order.
Yes.
Madam Chair. Tim has already withdrawn his motion to adjourn, so we should just go ahead and vote on Janine's motion.
Okay, let's vote on Janine's first then. So I will ask you, Carol, would you please take roll call for Janine's motion to extend half an hour?
Sharon Adams?
Okay, I vote yes to extend.
Marilyn Langlois?
Yes.
Christine Pepin.
She's not here.
Daniel Borgstrom.
Yes. I vote yes.
Thank you. Chris Corey.
I'll pass.
Chris passes. Mark Van Landuit.
I pass.
Mark passes. Susan De Silva.
I'm going to vote yes because I actually want to hear the report.
Susan, yes. Shira Dedman. Shira will come back to you. Don Goldmacher.
I'll pass.
Don passes. Christina Huggins.
All right, this was on whether we should adjourn, right?
No, this is
to extend.
Extend, yeah.
Oh, but what if I want to adjourn? Should I say no? No on an extension?
Is this Shira?
Oh, sorry, this is Shira. I meant to say that. Sorry. I always have a hard time finding my unmute button.
Oh, yeah. Shira, you would vote no if you do not want to extend.
Oh, I don't want to extend. No.
Okay.
Okay. Christina Huggins?
Pass.
Mantra Plansey?
Yes, extend, please. Thanks.
Yes. James McFadden?
Yes.
Lily Kimura?
No.
Aki Tanaka?
Aki?
I'll come back. Andrea Turner?
I'll pass.
Andrea Pass. Tom Borges?
Yes.
Carol Wolfley, a pass. Sabrina Jacobs?
No, I do not want to extend.
No. Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Tim Lynch?
Pass.
Tim Pass. Frank Sterling? Welcome back to Frank. Janine?
I'm here. Yes, please extend. Sorry, I had to unmute.
Janine Utter?
Yes. Extend.
Janine, extend. Philip Muldari?
No.
Philip, no. Donald McClay?
Yes.
Okay, and I'm going back to Christine Pepin. Not available. Aki Tanaka?
Oh, pass no.
You're voting no?
Aki? Right.
Mm-hmm. Aki no. And now I'm going to the passes. Okay, back to Chris Corey. Did you want to change it to abstain or
abstain.
Yes or no?
Abstain. I'll abstain.
Okay, Mark, did you want to abstain, yes or no?
Abstain.
Abstain. Okay, Susan Da Silva. Oops, sorry, Susan. Never mind. Donald Goldmacher?
Yes.
Don, yes. Christina Huggins?
Yes.
Christina Huggins, yes. Andrea Turner?
Yes.
Andrea, yes. I'll vote yes. And Tim Lynch?
Abstain.
Abstain. All right. Can you give us a tally, Jose, please?
Yeah, I've got 15 yeses, 5 noes, 3 abstains.
So the motion to extend passes. So we are now until it is 1:08. So it would be 1:38. Jose, that works.
That works.
Okay, 1:38.
Point of information, is that a time certain 1:38 we close?
It is.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So we will now go for the treasurer's report.
Okay. This I was going to do in November, but I'll do it now. Okay. Well, just to update on the KPFA fund drive, KPFA made its fund drive goal for the winter fund drive that has just concluded. Thanks to the management and staff at KPFA that made the fund drive successful. Okay, overview. Pacifica is one entity, as has been stated in the chat. It's a nonprofit corporation. So the finances of Pacifica as a whole are integral to the finances of KPFA. I want to talk about the PPP loan, which is the Paycheck Protection Loan, which maybe many of you have heard about. Of course, was sent out by the federal government, you know, because of COVID. Okay, Pacifica received $1.2 million in a PPP loan. This was used to cover payroll across the network for 2.5 months this summer. This is a loan. Okay, it's a government loan unless certain documents are filed and requirements are met. If Pacifica complies with the filing requirements, then the $1.2 million loan will become a grant and that does not have to be repaid. And that's what we're all hoping happens. The PPP loan allowed Pacifica to cover its payroll through this summer. Since then, making payroll has proved to be difficult. One round of payroll at another station was funded when KPFA paid its central services payment early, and another round of payroll at another station was funded when the affiliates made a loan to Pacifica to cover the payroll. It was interesting to see that there was a bit of commotion over the affiliates making a loan to Pacifica to cover payroll at another station. KPFA did the exact same thing. It made a loan to Pacifica to cover payroll, as it has done many times, and to cover other expenses of Pacifica. And KPFA has done this many times in the past. Perhaps those that raised the kerfuffle over the affiliates making a loan might give the same consideration to KPFA making loans to Pacifica. The financials for Pacifica show that every station is running at a loss except KPFA, as has been said numerous times. This is simply not sustainable. The PPP loan allowed Pacifica to make payroll through the summer, as I said, but that money is gone. Okay. As most of you know, probably know that KPFK in Los Angeles has been suffering financially. The entire news department was suddenly eliminated without warning by Pacifica management. Don't kid yourself. This could happen here at KPFA, even though we are covering our own bills right now, because that's why you keep hearing about how Pacifica is just one entity. Therefore, the argument goes that you would take money from KPFA to cover the expenses at stations that have been running at a loss for a decade. In other words, you might call it killing the goose that laid the golden egg, in a way, since KPFA is the only station that is financially solvent at this point. Central services. The NFC, the National Finance Committee, has been discussing central services payments. Central services are paid by each station to cover national expenses, including paying our contractors like NETA, the auditors, and many other vendors. Right now, central service payments are about 15% of listener revenue at each station. That's an estimate, okay? Except for one station, which is WBAI. WBAI, its formula is that it is charged 8% of listener revenue for central services. And that was because of the Empire State Building rent that it was paying. But of course, WBAI hasn't been paying that rent for going on three years now, but still it is making it's still at the 8% listener revenue central services assessment. And of course, it's not making those payments. Because central services and Pacifica Radio Archives payments are not being made by the other stations, Pacifica has no money. And then on top of not making central services payments, some stations are unable to fund payroll, as I was explaining before. Anita Sems, our interim CFO from NETA, has told the NFC in August that Pacifica cannot sustain itself. That was in August. I want to talk about the property tax issue, which people have been mentioning. It's surprising that some on this LSB and some in the chat that actually work for Pacifica don't know the plain facts and spread misinformation. As I explained over a year ago, the issue with the KPFA property tax came about because Pacifica management changed the name of the corporation twice and failed to take appropriate steps to record the name change with the state and county taxing authorities. To quote our interim executive director, quote, because of an administrative error on Pacifica's part, our property tax exemption lapsed. That is the executive director of Pacifica stating on the record that it was due to an error by Pacifica management. So it would be nice if people would stop spreading the misinformation that it was due to KPFA's fault that the property taxes weren't paid. KPFA did not and does not have the authority to fix the problem. The current status, which I did follow up on, is this. Pacifica needs an organizational clearance certificate, which is issued by the state of California. Before this can happen, Pacifica must amend its bylaws to change the name stated in the bylaws. Because the current bylaws are cumbersome, as we all know, it's not possible to make even a minor amendment of the bylaws except by membership vote. The PNB could have scheduled a membership vote for this year and included the bylaw amendment in this issue, but obviously that didn't happen. And of course, we all had that vote at January last year that was supposed to fix this problem. But as I said at the time, it didn't seem to resolve the problem, but they were all asking us to vote on it. And obviously it didn't solve the problem because it's still a problem. However, it was only on October 22nd of this year, okay, 2 months ago, that the PNB finally voted to authorize the attorneys to file a writ of mandate. That is what is needed to change the bylaws. That just happened in October. Despite knowing that the bylaws needed to be amended, the PNB has taken well over 1 year to authorize the filing of the court documents needed to make this happen. And just one final point on this topic. If our business manager had been paying the taxes all along, KPFA and Pacifica would have lost a substantial amount of money. I believe around $200,000, but it could be more. That's because if KPFA had paid the excess taxes, which it did not owe and does not owe because of our nonprofit status, we would not be able to recover that money. It would have been gone. So as it stands right now, hopefully the tax issue will be resolved and KPFA will get the benefit of the lower tax filing. That's my treasurer's report.
Thank you, Sharon. I see hands up here. It looks like Carol Wolfley first and then Shira.
I defer to Shira.
Shira, you want to go first? Shira? I can't hear you, Shira.
Yeah, she has to unmute. Give her a
sorry.
Moment.
I know it's so hard to do it from my phone. I click on it and it doesn't do it. Okay. I was hoping to make a motion in support of the KPFK general manager.
Go ahead, Shira. You could, or anyone can write that in. If you have a motion, you can write it in.
Oh, okay. Then I will do that. Thank you. Can I also make a comment that I've been kind of wanting to make? As a African American who joined the station board in hopes of, you know, like helping with diversification and stuff like that, and supposedly, you know, KPFA wants diversity. Frankly, I would say that in my time being on this board, I have found that that's quite frankly baloney, that people, in my opinion, just want to see, they don't really want to see people of color succeed. They only want to see them succeed if they're under their hand and they are puppets to whoever they think they should be. That people of color who are competent, who speak up, any of those, that they don't really like it. And so I'm really disappointed. I'm really disappointed in what I'm seeing and how people of color are being used as puppets. And that's half the reason I want KPFK to be successful. I think that, you know, people who root for, like, for instance, Sonali, who is a person of color. I mean, she's not black, but she's a person of color. And who has a successful show, who want to support things like that. Those are people that I want to support, and I hope you do too. Thank you.
Thank you, Shira. Carol, did you still have a question?
A question for Sharon. While Shira, go ahead and type in your
I'll do that.
Please. But a question for Sharon. Can you tell us a little bit about what's happening in Los Angeles?
Can I first get a second on Shira's motion?
I second it.
Thank you. Go ahead, Shira.
Oh, no, that was it. I'll just give me a while because I'm doing this on the phone. So it's going to be, let me try to do that. Okay. Thanks.
Point of information from Tom.
Yes, Tom.
Yeah, this is supposed to be a treasurer's report, and it seems like we're pulling in all kinds of other things, and we have seen no specific numbers from the treasurer, let alone a balance sheet at this point. That should be forthcoming. Thank you.
Thank you. Point of information. If you go on the Pacifica National Foundation website, there are links to all the national National Finance Committee meetings, and there are numbers that will substantiate exactly what Sharon just said. They're publicly posted. Anybody could go on the National Foundation page and they will reflect that. And in fact, I would really encourage people to do that and go on and look at the audits as well. The last four audits are posted on that page showing us the most recent one, 2017-2018, that we lost more than $4 million in 2017, and another $4 million was lost in 2018. So the amount of money that she's referencing is all publicly available for people. And I encourage you to go on the National Foundation website and you can download it, print it, read it, whatever you want to do with it.
And if so, I could just respond also.
Yes,
as,
go ahead,
as I've read in the chat numerous times and of course heard many times on the NFC, Pacifica is one entity. That's absolutely true. It's a nonprofit corporation. How that seems to work is that all the costs, the debts from other stations seem to be drawn up into the national office and therefore, you know, not carried on the books of the stations that are incurring the debts, and the assets of KPFA are also taken away from KPFA. That's why the national issue is directly related to the facts of what's happening on the ground at KPFA.
Thank you, Sharon. Are there any other questions for Sharon? If not, we'll move on to the Frank's motion. From Frank Sterling.
Oh, we're still waiting for Shira to write her motion in.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Doing it now. It's almost in.
Okay.
Why does that matter? Because we're going to do Frank's motion first.
Because we have to get a second.
We're on the treasurer's report, and this is related to the treasurer's report. While we're waiting, Sharon, can you talk a little bit more about what you see happening with the finances at KPFK? It's my understanding that KPFA was able to help out KPFK by helping them meet their payroll recently, but that now they were able to pay that back, but that they weren't able to even meet payroll.
Okay, I don't have all the details, you know, confirmed, but this is my understanding. As I understand it, KPFK in Los Angeles couldn't make payroll, and they borrowed some money from the affiliates, and they covered their payroll. Then, I think it was in the end of November, KPFK in Los Angeles again could not make payroll, and this time they borrowed money. Borrowed money from KPFA. Yes, that is absolutely true. $25,000, I believe, was the figure to cover payroll at KPFK.
And that was repaid, correct?
That I don't know.
That's my understanding. That money was repaid.
Sorry, I just sent it to administrator, but I'm supposed to just put it in the body of the chat to everyone, right?
It's okay. Jose, can you share it?
Yeah, I will.
When is this meeting scheduled to be over?
1:08.
Shira, do you want to go ahead and read your motion?
I'm sorry, 1:38.
Shira, will you read your motion?
Sure. It says, whereas it is the intention of Pacifica Radio to support diversity in all of its functions, and whereas it is also a goal of the foundation to recognize and encourage young people to participate at all levels of the organization, and whereas certain PMB directors have interfered with the ability of the general manager to perform his duties, and whereas it is professed goal of Pacifica Radio to function in a democratic manner, and whereas its best known broadcaster on KPFK has raised significant monies to defend the current general manager who is striving to keep relevant programming on the airways in Los Angeles, be it resolved that the KPFA local station board hereby votes to support the KPFK manager in his efforts to keep relevant broadly listened to programming on the air, and that he be allowed to manage the station as the general manager and remain in his position.
And I have a second on that. I think I already got a second.
Yes, you did, but I'll second it again.
Okay. So in order of motions, Frank's motion would come first because it was already on the agenda. So We'll go ahead and do I have a motion? Do I have a second on Frank's motion?
I'll second Frank's motion. This is
Tom. Second.
Thank you. Okay, discussion on Frank's motion.
I guess I could say something first. I know that you guys are going to cut the meeting at 1:38 due to the Zoom meeting, so I'm not sure what we could really get across at this point. But if we want to do it in, for the last 10 minutes, but I'd like it to be picked up because I know it's going to be carried over. I think everyone's not going to have a chance to speak that wants to speak on this, and that I'd hope that it would move to the front of the line on the next meeting.
You just want to read it? Can you read the motion?
I can read the motion. And I could retype it back into the maybe the administrator could mute some people. Anyways, I could repaste it in, but I feel like some relevant discussion ain't going to happen unless we have more time. But yes, I will read it in. Let me go get it. It's right here. I really appreciate it. Someone would mute people, though.
I can't tell who's talking.
Their name keeps popping up.
It should be, but it's not. So, yes, everybody please mute.
Thank you, guys. All right, let me go back to my motion. The motion to condemn the effort to put Pacifica into receivership. Sorry, I noticed I left that out last time. Come with the whereases. All right. Whereas on December 8, 2020, Andrea Turner, Donald Goldbacher, Christina Huggins, and Craig Alderson petitioned the Los Angeles Superior Court to place Pacifica Foundation into court-appointed receivership and thereby attempted to deprive its members of their voting rights. Sorry, I got to scroll down. Whereas has said action been successful, it would have bypassed the bylaws process, which requires that members shall vote on any proposed amendment to the change in the bylaws, which maternally or adversely affects the membership or the members' rights as to voting or transfer. And it cites to Article 17, Section 1. Scrolling down, sorry. Whereas said court actions caused Pacifica Foundation both direct financial harm through court cost and indirect financial harm through the alienation of members by demonstrating dysfunctional behavior by the LSB delegates and PMB directors who failed to cooperate through proper bylaw procedures, who failed to provide proper notification to the PMB directors of said actions that directly impact Pacifica, and by failing to make any effort to negotiate with the PMB before resorting to said court actions. Therefore, be it resolved that the KPFA Local Station Board condemns the actions of Andrea Turner, Donald Goldmacher, Christina Huggins, which were adverse to the best interest of the foundation when they attempted to place the Pacifica Foundation into receivership, an action which would materially and adversely affect members' rights as to voting or transfer of Pacifica assets, and asks that the Pacifica National Board remove Andrea Turner, Donald Goldmacher, and Christina Huggins from the KPFA LSB for their actions. And I would just like to, I'll copy that into the chat again if you wish. Otherwise, it's already there. And I'd just like to say, first of all, to motivate this is before we have to end the meeting, is that I've dedicated like a decade now coming on to KPFA's local station board, 15 years at KPFA. And I feel like what you guys did cut out my voice as an LSB member. It showed me that my voice is not important to you, that my voice doesn't matter because no one consulted me. In fact, why am I on this board if people are going to do stuff in the name of the board without me? You know, I've been kind, respectful to everybody, and I've watched people burst out with heavy sighs and come-ons and roll their eyes at people, not even pay attention to the public comment people when we were in person, just looking down, writing their notes. Basically, I feel like a lack of respect from this action and just from being on this board for so long and seeing the way people, if someone comes to make a public comment and you don't even pay attention to them and roll your eyes at them, that is disrespectful to me. Doing what you all did as board members without even bringing it to the board. And it goes back to the KPFA Foundation, Big Tent Radio. And at that time, someone told me it was like making a sandwich and that they didn't have to tell me every time they made a sandwich. And I feel like I just really can't believe that this has happened. Actually, let me rephrase that. I believe that it happened. Fine. But again, I'm very disappointed in this action. Thank and you. I feel Fine. Like it left my Fine. Voice out.
James McFadden is next. James?
Yeah. I'd just like to reiterate that the number of actions that have been taken by individuals on this board that really are seem to be directed by where whatever faction you belong to, that loyalty to the faction is more important than anything. And winning has got to be, you know, just like it's got to be the most important thing here. You know, I still remember having conversation before I even on the board where this came up, you know, that, you know, where it's like where people just don't know how to cooperate. They don't know how to work together to find solutions. And all that matters, it seems like, is getting their way and winning. And there's no consideration for the foundation. It's got to be their way or the highway. And it's just, it's extremely discouraging to see a small group of members go off and basically undermine the entire Pacifica Foundation network. It's just, you know, I just can't, you know, each time something like this has happened, you know, when WBAI was shut down, I just like was shocked that they would do that. And, but that was foiled. So you try something else. You try a bylaws amendment, which loses 2-1. Within months after the bylaws losing 2-1, another bylaws comes along. And then while that bylaws is stalling, there's an effort to basically take over the foundation with the receivership. These actions are just causing tremendous harm to Pacifica. And the people that are involved in them just don't seem to care. And this destructive behavior is so dysfunctional in an organization. And it really just needs to stop. And, you know, this has to be
done. Thank you. Susan DeSilva's next.
James, I take big issue with a lot of what you've said. I am all for listening to all sides, and I ascribe the best possible motives to everyone who is working on this. I am not for factions. I am for really listening on each issue, and I give everyone the benefit of the doubt that they are doing what they think is important. And I think that the efforts that you are condemning are all well-meaning, because people are trying really hard to figure out how to save something. I think that if people really pay attention, I'm just now really glad that you didn't get the treasurer job, because I think you need to pay attention to what the numbers are. I think the situation is dire. I might not agree with everything that everybody does, but I think that the people who are trying hard to find ways to save the situation, I think are, and I really think it's dire. I really think it's dire. We're going to lose our buildings. We're going to lose it all if things don't change. But whether the lawsuit is a good idea or not, I will almost always vote against condemning people. And I will almost always vote against, just as I didn't want to condemn you, James, when I think you made a mistake. I think that the whole tone of the LSB suffers when we're condemning each other. And instead, I think we should try to understand that people are trying to do their best. They're not doing it for themselves. Nobody is doing anything for themselves. They're doing it because they think it's the right thing to do. And sometimes maybe they're wrong, but it's still what they think is the best.
Thank you, Susan. Don McClay is next.
This is meeting number two for me. To say that it's real obvious that there's a lot of distrust around this board is to put a mild understatement on it. And I think that there's some problems here with process and function. This is too important of an item to just kind of decide based on something. It feels to me more like a shouting match. And I was going to suggest that we put this discussion off to our next meeting and we let the proponent of this motion write us an abstract, explain why he feels that this is worth doing, and that the three board members in question could write us an abstract and explain why they feel that what they did was justified. And we could get that before the meeting, like seriously before the meeting, at least a week, so that the board members could have a minute to think about it, read it, look at some of the supporting documents, and then have a discussion where we would put this back on the agenda with the option of maybe coming to an agreement that's neither, you know, we might find something between this motion and just voting it down. Something, an agreement of a board member's obligation to the board and to the association going forward. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you. I actually think that that's a really good closing statement. I think since we're almost at 1:38, I mean, Carol, if you want to say something very brief, we're almost at closing time here. Drink up.
I just wanted to honor the fact that each board member who is involved in this lawsuit action has a right as an individual, and nothing was done in the name of the board. And I also want to say that I haven't read all of the 80 pages of material, I believe it's 80, involved in the case, but I know that there have been serious issues with KPFA with Pacifica not resolving the name changes and losing thousands of dollars because of that, because of problems with the pension plans, with the processing of the loans, and now the strategic planning committee is pushing underwriting for the network. And for everybody here who understands politics, you have to understand the seriousness of having underwriting in our network and, yes, and bringing corporations and businesses on the air.
We're at 1:39. So thank you very much, everybody. We're all here for the right reason. We come from different places. I had someone at KPFA tell me once that it takes a quilt. We're all like a quilt. You know, we add to the conversation. And I appreciate everybody's service and being here today. And we will carry on to the next meeting.
When is the next meeting?
Second. It is in January.
I think it's the 9th.
I'll send something to you.
I believe it's January 9th.
Okay.
Thank you, Don.
Personal privilege.
Thank you, Susan.
Good night. Bye.
Christina.
We're done.
Go ahead.
It's over.
All right.
I would simply ask that the two people who still have their hands raised, Shira and Sabrina, be given an opportunity
it's called a point of personal privilege, Janine. It's in Robert's Rules of Order. He does have a right to
We
have a training session on Robert's Rules.
There is.
I think that would help a lot of new people.
I'm chairing the meeting. I make the decisions. You don't yell out. This is what we're trying to avoid. People yell at each other all the time. It's not constructive. I already ruled the meeting is over. Okay. We will next meeting. We will continue the conversation. just as we discussed.
Okay, thank you.
Kind to each other. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Happy holidays. Go well in peace.
You too.
All of you. Thank you.
Even Donald.
We need a training session on Robert's Rules.